much money on the debt service as they want. The ruling period could be 2 to 5 years.
I'd like to call the Wednesday, October 11, 2023 meeting of the Brooklyn Park Charter Commission to order and ask that rule be taken.
Commissioner Alibi?
Yeah.
Commissioner Board?
Present.
Commissioner Hanson?
Here.
Commissioner Hunt?
Here.
Commissioner Mabera? Commissioner Chino? Chair Sakara?
Present.
Commissioner Severin?
Here.
Commissioner Simmons?
Here.
Commissioner Zach?
Here.
Commissioner Williams? And Council Liaison Klonowski. Chair Sakara, you have the floor.
Thank you. Before we proceed, I'd just like to mention for the record that Commissioner Mabera emailed and will not be able to attend this meeting tonight. I have not heard from any other commissioners who are not present. Item number two, public comment.
Chair Sakara, I'm sorry, before we go on, I'd just like to introduce Siobhan Tolar. She's from Kennedy Gavin. She's going to be sitting in for Jim Thompson, and she's for some of the discussions we're going to have this evening.
Yes, thank you, and welcome. Thank you for being here. Seeing there's no member of the public present, we will move on to number three, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda as presented? Commissioner Simmons?
I move the agenda as distributed.
Second.
Seconded. Any further discussion? Thank you. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? The ayes have it. The agenda is approved as presented. Now, item number four, approval of minutes for September 13th, 2023. I believe you should all have copies of these in your packet. Are there any substantial changes? Okay. Commissioner Moore?
I move we approve the minutes.
Okay, motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Hanson, I believe. All right, any further discussion? Okay, those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Very well, the September 13th, 2023 meeting minutes are approved. Item number five, old business, 5.1. Discuss proposed amendment to Charter Section 7.07, public purpose expenditures. So let's see. So in your packets, it's kind of okay. So it's on a copy of this email from Mr. Thompson, and basically it is a response to a letter, an email that I sent to him. The second night Commissioner Alby has arrived. An email that I sent to him inviting to our meeting this evening. And in it, I did ask him to address some specific questions that the commission came up with. That time, it looks like this. Okay. Do I know where we are? All right. And so his responses to our questions are in red for this question. So letter A, public purpose expenditure policy. I think we all wanted to know or get a deeper understanding what is the benefit or specific need for amending the charter to authorize the use of city funds for events such as festivals. And he explains that a charter amendment would clarify that public funds could be spent for these types of events and festivals. The reasoning was the basis for amending 7.07 with the following provision. And he goes on to suggest that our amendment mirror that of the Crystal City Charter, section 12.10. And he suggests adding the following language to 7.07. Quote, the city council may provide in the public purpose expenditure policy that public funds may be expended for international and cultural programs and for community events, festivals, and celebrations. And so that is his response to basically why or how we could amend that section of the city charter to accommodate the change in the public purpose expenditure that was requested by the council. I would have to say that in it, I'm not completely, I don't think it gets too far into explaining the exact rationale for doing this, meaning that in the past there have been some issues with the state, I think the state Supreme Court ruling on something like this, and then the city state auditor. Siobhan, if you could maybe give us a background on that.
Sure, I'll do my best. So, as all of you know, public expenditures require public purpose, and the state auditor is very strict on what she believes of public purpose expenditures actually are. And this particular provision, the way the Jim has drafted it, would basically provide the public purpose for these types of expenditures. So amending your charter, you're supposed to have authority for the expenditure. One of the ways that you do that is by amending your charter and giving yourself the authority to spend in this particular way. If you do not amend your charter to do this way, the risk, that's where the risk is, mm-hmm. because you will run afoul of public purpose spending. Therefore, if you were to get audited, you might get slapped with bad auditor finding. It might impact your credit rating. The state auditor might tell you that you cannot spend this way. So amending your charter is probably the safest bet to accomplish what it is that you all want to accomplish, which I assume is to have festivals here in the city and use city funds to pay for festivals. And normally that would not be something that was allowed without express authority to do so.
So, just to clarify, that it is not currently allowed under public purpose expenditure policies as
right.
stated in the charter or by the city manager. Are there any questions on this for Siobhan?
I mean, I know I came late and I do apologize, but I don't have any background on my question would be, what is the incentive or what are we trying to get by amending the charter to allow this if it's not currently allowed? I mean, is that, I know that the purpose, if we amend the charter, then mm-hmm. now we go around, we manufacturing the purpose, we amend the charter, but my question is, what is the rationale for wanting to do this?
That's a good question. From what I understand is city staff would like to continue to spend money for festivals here in the city of Brooklyn Park. Is that correct? Is that what you guys also
want
to
do?
We had some extensive conversations the last meeting with our council liaison as well, but essentially it kind of came down to Tater Days and festivals around that we wanted to be able to use public funds to provide support for those festivals, and based on the current public expenditure policy, it's not allowed per the state. So by putting it in our charter, we would basically giving ourselves permission
to do it,
to be able to fund festivals like Tater Days, etc.
And I would still go, my question then becomes, I mean, if you're opening this door, I mean, is there going to be any guidelines as to what, or is it any festival?
I believe the council, and correct me if I'm wrong, friends, but I believe the council liaison, I forget her name, I'm so sorry.
Klonowski.
Yes. Let us know that it would all have to be approved by the city
council
in order for any funds to be spent. Okay. But this would give us permission to spend in that category.
Okay.
So there would still be additional approval, per my understanding.
Well said.
Yep. Thank you. Chair Sekera and commissioners, in one of the documents, and you've seen one of the documents, this is the work session documents that the city council talked about. So it kind of gives you more background as well. So.
Yes, and I did attend that meeting, and it covers kind of what was discussed at that meeting. And so when I talk about community festivals, and that's, I don't think, focusing just on Tater Days, but maybe some other activities as well. So, Commissioner Simmons?
Well, if you go back to last month's meeting and the handout that was presented, which is based on a work session from July 31st, Tater Days wasn't even included in these ideas for events.
Mm-hmm.
And it's analogous, you know, to what's going on here for a rationale why to do it, but it's not even listed as an idea. rather there's 75 grand worth of potential spending on other things, some of which we've done before. I know the city's spent money on fireworks. I don't know if the auditor looks askance at that.
You know,
if we've ever been dinged in an audit by the state auditor, I'd like to know that. I know other communities do fireworks. Do they have statutory or charter permission to do that? Maybe I should ask the council.
Very good question. We can take that back, but I'm not sure. I would. My legal advice would be that it should be explicitly stated. If you're going to be spending money in this particular way for festival celebrations, fireworks, you should have that explicitly stated in your charter, thereby giving you the explicit authority to do so.
Chair Sakara and commissioners, in the documents for the work session under the 2024 proposed events for June, there's Tater Days Parade, kickoff this summer. Yeah, thank you.
And Tater Days is on there.
That's listed. So it's
you're looking at that first box. I was looking at the bottom box, ideas for 2024.
Sure, sure. And it goes on to list other under-proposed ideas.
Okay, sorry, I stand corrected. So that top box I don't know if it was a PowerPoint perhaps that was given by staff. It was January through December, looks like, then repetition of what's already been done, maybe. And then the next PowerPoint slide is ideas for new or additional items. However, fireworks, again, has already been done multiple times over. So I don't know where to draw the line. I guess it sounds like it's preemptive, so we don't get written up, as they say, by the state auditor when they come in and do their audit. I know that's what started the whole thing way back when. It was a public purpose expenditure policy being annually reviewed and such, because we did get a finding some couple decades ago. And I'm not against doing this. It's just, Commissioner Allaby raises a good point. What is the scope? Is this just a carte blanche for anything? It sounds pretty wide open in terms of the language that I think there's Mr. Thompson put in here. It's pretty wide open. It's just say, go for it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's up to us whether we want to put any limiting criteria on there or not.
Commissioner Hanson, and then Commissioner Bullard.
Yeah, I'm remembering back some to our conversation that we had last month, and I want us to remember that city staff, we're already spending staff time on these events, so it's not that we are going from a zero spend on these things. And there's also some discussion around, there are events like Tater Days that used to evolve from community groups and organizations that used to fund these and volunteer these events, and those groups over time have dwindled. They don't have the funds, they don't have the volunteers to do these type of events. And these events have needed to evolve and change. Tater Days some with the security aspect of it. And so, that is part of the conversation we have to remember too, that why this would be needed. It's not just because they want to spend money on it. They're already spending money on it. We're paying staff to be involved in these things. So I don't have a problem with this language. I would like this. I like that it would be in here. I think we also have to remember that if this is in the charter, this isn't a blank check. We still have a council who has to approve the expenditures. We all vote for city council people. So if you don't like how, the city council is going to spend our money on these kind of things, then we need to get other people involved and vote for other people. So let's remember that there is a checks and balances. This is not just saying, your city council can spend all the money you want. Like, we don't care. This is, the city council still has to approve the money that's being spent on events. So,
Commissioner Moore.
So I realize we don't have council representation here tonight. The budget, is there a line item like a general fund that's titled to this currently?
Chair Sakara, Commissioner, I believe so. And that falls under the Recreation Parks Department, I believe, for events.
So when you look at this list of just proposed, not saying that it would be approved or that's how we want to spend our money, but by the time you get to November and December, if the money's been consumed, I mean, there has to be equal representation in a sense to balance that, and I'm hoping that the council will take that into consideration as things come up. But if we understood the bucket that the money would come from, to try to distribute it as equitably as possible so there's something for everybody, I think would be, and certainly the statement there is just carte blanche. I mean, you can, it doesn't direct it that way, I don't believe. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm just saying, you know, if I were, you know, Living Well resource in November and there's no money left, then what? Do you know, I mean, who's, so I think you got to kind of watch that balance of monies, I think. And that would be a recommendation, not a charter change.
Commissioner Hunt?
Just two thoughts. One is that the language is actually taken from a neighboring city that's already been adopted. So it's like, it doesn't strike me as scary, or it doesn't strike me as something we should be concerned about. And two, what does concern me is that if we spend this money and we get an audit sounds really expensive, and it sounds like it could cause lots of problems. So I am of the impression to, let's get this into our charter to avoid any issues, to provide the support that's needed, because there's been a precedent set by Crystal. It sounds safe to me. I believe, you know, our city council and people that we vote for, like you said, are doing a lot of checks and balances. So that's, I rest my case.
Thank you. Commissioner Sever?
I would only be in support of parts of the Crystal wording. On page 2 with the red, especially the list expended for international and cultural programs, I would strike that. I would only keep community events.
Okay.
I just feel like community events would be stuff like, you know, the citywide garage sale, the farmer's market, the idea of doing the food truck fest, you know, the food truck event. That's a great idea. I feel like because we're such a diverse city, I love it when we can find things that don't pick and choose a certain culture. Because I feel like the people who move to Brooklyn Park, they realize we're a melting pot and they love it. And they don't really need, I don't feel like it's a government job to build up a particular culture. I feel like it's the government's job to build commonality, which would be the farmer's market. Everybody eats, you know, everybody could have a garage sale or a yard sale or, you know, So that's why I would just keep it to the community events. Festivals and celebrations also get more into, celebrations would be more, what are we celebrating? Are we celebrating a holiday? Are we celebrating a belief system? You know, and I just don't feel like that's the government's job. I feel like there's passionate people within Brooklyn Park who will go ahead and have their celebrations and their festivals and things that they love and they're passionate about and they believe in. But why would we as a city take that on? So, and then I also like the Minnesota Supreme Court wording in the supplementary materials on page 13. We already see the Minnesota Supreme Court at the bottom of page 13 has said, you know, is it for public health? Is it for safety, general welfare, security, prosperity, contentment? Those are really broad, vague terms. And I feel like broad, vague things are the job of the government, not specific things.
Okay, so, yeah, I would say that, yes.
So to segue back to what has just been shared, the equity, you know, the distribution of funds and who gets those funds gets down to more picking and choosing what's of value to the council at hand. So I think leaving it as was suggested, I'm open.
Okay. And if we just say expenditure for community events and strike festivals and celebrations and cultural programs, I think that leaves enough flexibility, a community program that hopefully serves the public purpose. But and if it doesn't, then that's the city council's problem to address with the state auditor if that comes up, or to the residents. So I guess, is there any, Commissioner Simmons?
Well, I just think it's along the lines of Commissioner Severn, and I don't disagree with what she said. Community events is pretty broad, and I think that would encompass sort of international and cultural events. Mm-hmm. I don't know what programs mean, but I think we need to make clear that these are happenings that are where everyone is welcome, mm-hmm. right? And not just for one particular group or another, but some things that are community-wide, all are welcome here, those kinds of things, and not targeted to specific groups. I think that's the purpose of this. It's community-wide. At least that's how I see it. And so if you say community events, that encompasses what it could be international, it could be cultural, but it's community-wide for everybody. And I think hopefully I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I think that's what we're trying to get at. I'm non-committal on festivals and celebrations, but I just, as long as it's open and available to everybody, I'm fine with whatever we end up with.
So are fireworks and community events?
Fireworks are community events.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I would just say that you can define a community event in a number of different ways.
And that's actually, I'm not a lawyer, but I think I'm more inclined to make it overly broad and not be narrowly focused. Mm-hmm. And then how you define that is up to the city council at that point in time.
All right, well, it sounds to me like we have a consensus here. So if we were to amend city charter 7.07, it would read, the city council may provide in the public purpose expenditure policy that public funds may be expended for community events.
And just strike.
Strike everything else.
Yep. And that's pretty clear cut.
All right.
Chair Scarra and Commissioner, I just want to make sure that we're meeting the letter of the law as far as community events with the attorney, so that would include international cultural programs or events. Do you think that?
I think that it could. I guess I'm split on whether or not you want to articulate what it is you actually are intending to include here. So if you are intending the city to have international cultural events, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it harms you to have that in your charter, but community events is a broad term as well, and Commissioner, tell me your last name?
Alibi.
Is right that the city council could define community yeah. events in your public purpose policy.
Well, I think they have. I just read some guidelines to put in request.
Excuse me, Commissioner Hanson.
Yeah, so I want to say to the group, maybe a suggestion would be pulling from this public purpose expenditures policy thing. On page 13 at the bottom, there's the bullet points there. So what if our wording said the city council may provide in the public purpose expenditure policy that public funds may be expended for community events that further a public purpose of, and then list those bullet points, public health, safety, general welfare, security, prosperity, contentment. Then we're pulling the language right from the policy that they should be referencing, I would hope. Mm-hmm. But then it's also reinforcing what we feel are, you know, general themes for community events.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what is the number on your first page?
Yeah, it's in this, the council work session from July 31st, 2023, mm-hmm. and it's at the bottom of page 13. It says one page, and then page 13 in the middle.
Yes, I see it. Okay, Commissioner Alvey, you wanted to mention something?
No, I was just going to respond to what she said.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm good.
All right,
C1.
I'm trying to find the Brooklyn Park Planning Commission
downstairs in the chambers.
Wow, I was down there, I didn't see it really well. So, huh. Up downstairs, there's one floor down.
Yeah.
I will give that a shot. Sorry, thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. Commissioner Severn?
Just with what Commissioner Hansen said for the bottom of page 13, I do like the wording prior to that, the leading sentence right before the bulletin points, for the benefit of all the city residents. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should include that.
Yeah.
Those words right there.
Yeah, that sounds great. Works for me.
Okay, so then we could say something like, City Council may provide in public purpose expenditure policy, the public funds may be expended for community events. For the benefit of all the city's residents.
Yeah. That further a public purpose of, and then list the list.
Okay. I'm wondering if, do we want to, is that overstepping our bounds by being too listy, or are we not giving City Council enough flexibility, or?
Well,
Commissioner Hunt?
We, a few of us have said, like, there are checks and balances. We have voted people in to make these decisions. Like, mm-hmm. Do we really feel that we are, you know, appointed officials, like, non-elected, like, need to be laundry listing what we feel when we have elected officials who can maybe make those judgments for the better of the community? Maybe where I'm at.
Okay.
And
so,
I will point everybody's direction to, excuse me, Chair, to Section 707 of the actual charter, public purpose expenditures. It does have language that discusses the policy has to benefit the community as a whole, mm-hmm. are directly related to governmental functions, and primarily benefit the public interest, not a private interest. So it does have those themes already of public health,
okay.
welfare, contentment, those types of things already in the charter. So.
So knowing that, then I'm fine without listing.
Yeah.
All right. Without the list.
And then do we still need to include the language that further is a public policy and so forth?
I think that covers it, though.
That covers it?
Yeah.
All right. So then Section 7.07 should be amended to read as follows. The City Council may provide in the public purpose expenditure policy that public funds may be expended for community events, with the language that we've discussed preceding the previous one.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we need a motion or something?
Not yet. We're not ready to vote. Well, I guess we can be.
Okay, I make a motion that we amend Section 7.07 to read the City Council may provide in the public purpose expenditure policy that public funds may be expended for community events.
For a roll motion, Commissioner Simmons?
Is the motion a recommendation that the council adopt the amendment to the city charter to that effect?
Yes.
Okay, just want to clarify what your motion is.
Yes, thank you.
Was that second?
Obviously. That would be a second then.
Okay. All right. Okay, seconded by Commissioner Simmons. Any further discussion on this? Those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, very well.
Chair Sakara and Commissioner, so now it sets in motion for me to set a public hearing and a first reading of the charter amendment. So, hang on, I'm just looking at dates. The next council meeting, probably November. I'm looking at November 13th because we have to publish the public hearing notice as well. So that's what I'm looking at. It's November 13th as a public hearing for the first reading.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Devin, I don't know if you're going through your head with a calendar. If you follow that timetable and if you did get that hearing at that would be the earliest date, when, if all things were positive, when would the ordinance or when would the actual charter amendment go into effect?
Okay. So the first reading would be held on November 13th. The second reading would be held on November 27th. The charter amendment will be in effect 90 days after it's published. And that's going to be, excuse me, what did I say, November 27th? Is that what I said? And then it's going to be published in the newspaper on December 6th. So now you take 90 days.
March 6th-ish. Yeah.
So that's the time frame that you're looking at. So
thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Very well. Moving on to item 5.2. Discuss proposed amendment to Charter Section 2.06, City Council Vacancies. Again, in my email to Mr. Thompson, I asked him to review the legal options for appointments and special elections as outlined in the City Council work session. So what I basically did was ask him to reiterate what was discussed on July 31st, and if possible, elaborate on that. Devin has given us a list of what other charter cities do for filling vacancies. And so we should consider both what City Council, what the city attorney has written, and take a look at what other cities have done. Devin?
Chair Sekera, Commissioners, in addition to that, the city attorney also references Minnesota State Statute 412.02, and I made a copy of that for you as well. Also made a copy of Chapter 4 of the city charter for you to look at as well. I think from the minutes last time, there was discussion on the appointment process, and I did make a copy of current appointment policy that we have.
Let's give everybody a minute to look at those and then. Just going back to this response in red, so he says here are some potential options that would reduce the amount of time that a vacancy occurs in the City Council. If you may recall from our last discussion, there were concerns on the City Council about the length of the vacancy, and they wanted to reduce that length of time that there is a vacancy, and wanted options for exploring that. And he's addressed two of them. One is add a provision to the city charter requiring the city council to appoint a person to fill a vacancy even when a special election is required. That can be accomplished by amending 2.06 to read like the vacancy provision of the Minnesota statute, section 412.02, which Devin and I believe just referenced, subdivision 2A, or like the vacancy provision in one of the city charters that we provided for commission. So essentially, I think that would mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, they would fill, the mayor or city council would appoint someone to fill the vacancy once it's declared. And then if a special election is required, the person would serve until the special election is held. And if they are a candidate and they are elected, then they simply continue in their office. If not, then whoever's elected will resume that office and complete the remainder of the term. Okay. The second thing that he mentioned was eliminate the need to hold a primary election for any special election to fill a vacancy. That can be accomplished by amending section 4.03 of the charter. And then he goes on to mention our special provision that occurred to the 2022 special election. That does not apply here. The section was amended in 2021 to eliminate the requirement for a primary election in conjunction with the 2022 special election. So this is where we got into, so if you eliminate the primary, this is where we got into those lists of options that were discussed, and I believe those are mentioned to some extent in the material. One of the options presented by Councilmember Morrison is to do a ranked choice special election, and that would be essentially involve ranked choice voting, which we have had numerous discussions on, and but it would only be for special elections, not for regular elections. Option number two, I believe, that was mentioned was possibly having a primary election in which a candidate who receives 50% plus one of the vote is duly elected, thereby eliminating the need for a general election runoff. So, for example, if we have one of these primaries in, say, February, say a vacancy is declared in January or December, whenever, and we have to have a primary in February, whoever gets 50% plus one in February is elected. There is no follow-up election in August. A third option is that the special election could be a person to be appointed at the time of the vacancy, and then the special election would be held at the same time as the next regular election, depending on where it falls. So, like, if there's 1 year left in the term, that might be feasible, especially if there's a general election coming up. That would preclude the possibility of using ranked choice, however. And so those were the options that were discussed. And it's up to us to send some kind of recommendation to them. And I'm sure that this will take some time and effort on our part, and so I certainly do not expect anything tonight. But are there, at this point, Siobhan, is everything I mentioned roughly correct, you know?
I don't know where those options were listed. So
okay.
Those are new to me.
Okay, I was at the meeting, and those
the
things were
discussed. The newspaper article that I get left you there?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't distribute that, but maybe we can give it to Devin. He can send it out. It does
yes.
identify including ranked choice voting there.
Yes, I will say.
By Council Member Morrison. And you were quoted there.
Yes, I was quoted. So, yes, you want to make a copy?
Yeah, I'll make a copy.
Sorry.
Thank you for mentioning this, Commissioner Boyle. Commissioner Albee?
I'm open to discussing options, but I think where would be a sticking point for me would be even putting ranked choice there as an option that we haven't adopted as a city.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a sticking point for me. I mean, for me personally, I think we'd probably do appointment and wait till the next election, but I mean, just putting that option as ranked choice, I'm fundamentally opposed to that. Without any merit of on ranked choice, we haven't adopted it today, but we're going to use it in a special election. We don't even think we have people trained to do that.
I would point out that if we did the 50% plus one primary, that would achieve essentially the goal
yeah.
of ranked choice voting without the requisite tabulation process,
yep.
and would also eliminate the need for a follow-up election. The only drawback, as I think I mentioned last time, is that the city would have to budget for two elections, so the primary and the general, because if nobody gets 50% plus one, then there has to be a runoff. But if there's no runoff, then the city could, I believe, reallocate those funds. Commissioner Hanson?
I'd like to ask Devin this when he comes back, but I think it would be helpful for us to see historical election data for special elections. You know, if there are, say, the 90% of the special elections we've had could have been done in the primary because the primary had the 50% plus one. I think we could maybe make some logical choices as to how we should move to amending the charter. But if, say, all these special elections are close in percentages and there's no, you know, 50% plus one, then we go, well, then, you know, to do the 50% plus
right.
one, then we know, well, most of the time in our city that hasn't worked in the, wouldn't have worked in the past, so would it even work moving forward?
Well, let me point out two things. One, in one of these special primaries, there was a lot of people in there, and the winning candidate only got a plurality. I think in this most recent special election in the West District, the winning candidate, who is now seated, got 50% plus one in the primary and the general, just looking at the numbers.
So, Devin, homework for you.
Sure.
I'm so excited for. Could you poll, say, like, maybe the past 5 to 10 years of special elections in the city, and the looking at the primary, you know, percentages, how many of them would have, if we did the 50% plus one, how many of those primaries would have just been, the election been settled with just the primary? And the conversation I kind of had was, you know, if a lot of these primaries could have just been done with the 50% plus one, then we know that that is something that could be logical moving forward. But if all of these primaries, or the majority of them, were not the 50% plus one, then we know that probably wouldn't work in the future.
Okay, Commissioner Summer, and then Commissioner Boyer.
Yes, I had a question before I make my comment. Where is the 50% plus one coming from? Is that a statute of a state, or it's just we'd like to have it, but plurality is fine as well?
It may have even been just a private conversation between Mr.
Okay.
Thompson and I. I don't actually know where that comes from, if it's statute. I would assume it's statute-based.
Okay.
But I don't know specifically where he drew that from.
Well, if that's not a legal requirement, I did have some extra time, and I wrote a modified, just tiny modifications to our primary, section 4.03, about primaries in general, and then also section 4.04 about special elections. I guess from a budget standpoint and just an effort standpoint for the city, I feel like it's hard enough to get everybody voting and engaged in these little municipal elections, so I feel like we're spinning our wheels with too many primaries, so I would do away with primaries completely, and that's kind of how I wrote it in the special election section 4.04. And then I did change the 4.03. I thought, what if we could have, right now it says whenever there's more than two candidates filing for any municipal office, we're going to have to hold a primary. But I thought, what if we changed it to five? And just, you know, just in the spirit of, like, community participation in elections, like, if there's five people running, who cares? I mean, just see who gets the most votes. And, you know, I just remember trying to run for city council and thinking, thank God there's not a primary, because I can't believe how much energy and money I'm expending just to try to get on the city council, you know? And I thought, what if I had to do this twice? Do a primary and the general election? I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of cumbersome for just these small local positions that we're hoping people want to get involved in anyways, and then we're making it so hard for them.
Thank you. Commissioner Moore?
So I'm not clear what direction in these discussions we're kind of like
any places here. Discussing.
I would like to go back to Commissioner Alvey's original point about rank choice voting. I just reviewed again our work plan, you know, after multiple discussions on this and agenda item from meetings. It's not even on our agenda right now. It's not to say that it can't be put there or that the council can give us direction to look at it.
We moved that it no longer be on a work plan.
Exactly. So to me, it's a dead thing without even cluttering this as we go forward. But if I'm wrong, correct me. But
yeah.
I think you are correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Commissioner Seven, you said that you had some language that you'd like to distribute.
Yeah, I did make copies. I don't know. It's really... The things in bold are the only changes. It's really almost the original for 4.03. I don't know. I just felt like it would simplify the whole primary situation with the smaller
election. And having Devin's data that Commissioner Hansen requested will also be helpful before we get into the weeds here.
As a commission, we just have to get our head around what we're actually trying to accomplish.
Thank you.
Is it only, we were tasked with the notion of dealing with a vacancy, not the overall change in our election law. to the extent we're only trying to fill a gap caused by a vacancy in a more expedited manner than is possible, than it has happened, and clearly there was frustration on the part of the council that it took so long, it's not our fault. I think we need to make sure we recognize that the state legislature told municipalities when they can have elections. Okay, that's a relatively new phenomenon. There's only certain dates in the calendar where we can actually even have an election. That isn't our fault. I would have preferred to live by our charter when we have flexibility, but you know, state came in and said, no, you can't do that. So in their wisdom, that's how we have to live our lives. So if we agree, I guess first the threshold question is, do we agree that we want to make things quicker? Okay. If we agree with the council and we want to make things quicker, what are the options? Apparently, we have consensus that ranked choice voting is not going to be an option, which I agree with. So what are our options on the table? My preference is winner take all if it's more than a year. We're talking more than a year because under a year, that's appointment anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, in the charter. So over a year, winner take all, that'll speed things up. It's not as democratic as I would prefer. In the past, the Charter Commission has gone to great lengths to discuss why elections are important. And regardless of the cost, whether it's city cost or candidate cost, because that's democracy.
Yep.
And if the people don't participate, that's on them, mm-hmm. right? It's not the government's problem if people don't step up and participate in how they're governed. So my preference is to have a primary, but you know, I'm short it up if it's a really big problem and you really need seven people, just have winner take all. That's, I guess, you know, I'm willing to do that. But anyway, those are my questions. Is it a problem? Number two, how do we solve it? What are the options? And if we wanted to take, you know, go into future meetings and talk about the pros and cons of each option, we can do that. But we were tasked only with dealing with the vacancy.
Commissioner Hunt?
Thank you. I don't have anything, but thank you.
Oh, okay.
Changed my mind.
Okay, so...
question. State statute, that last page, the state statute page or whatever that they gave us?
The vacancy?
Yes, thank you. 4 point whatever.
4.12.
So is that saying that it must be the method of the mayor and the council appointing, right?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, it just said shall. Yeah. So it seems like that's our only option to have an appointment rather than an election.
That's a good question. This is... I'm trying to figure out what's
that. Because I guess my personal preference for just democracy's sake is an election rather than an appointment, but it kind of seems like we have to have an appointment if it's short enough. It's this tiny little term remnant.
So...
And then they reference, except as otherwise provided in subdivision 2B, which we have no idea what that says. That looks like a little caveat, but who knows what it says.
Inability and refusal to serve.
Yeah. The supplementary packet, the last page. Yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering if this is where we get our...
Where your
mandate almost to have this appointment process.
Are we even discussing the appointment process?
I thought that's what they wanted us to talk
about.
Yeah,
they want. So, just to rephrase, our task is to kind of recommend a way to narrow the time between that there's a vague open vacancy mm-hmm. between the time it's declared and the special election to fill it. To my mind, the easiest way to do that is just to have somebody appointed to fill that vacancy until the election. And then, of course, it brings in the question of, do we need a primary? Do we need to have a general election? I think that's a different question. But we're looking at, you know, for 1 year or less, there's the appointment. But if it's more than 1 year left in the term, We need an appointment until the general election. So that's really what we need to do. That's really our fundamental task. So I guess it sounds like we would just add something to 2.06 that says the City Council, if more than 365 days remains of the term, the City Council shall appoint, I think, a person to fill the vacancy after the vacancy is declared until the time of a general election. I believe that's what they're asking for. Commissioner Hunt?
And the onus of that is because we're going a long time without our citizens being represented. And the other piece of that is we're trying to mitigate costs because primaries are expensive for tiny elections. So each primary costs $70,000. Divide that by how many people that probably vote. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And that affects everybody in Brooklyn Park, not just those who vote. So, you know, I think the onus is to shorten the gap, close it, like appoint somebody. But then if it's a certain, to what degree of time, you know, if they just got elected and the term is 2 years and the next day they're not elected anymore, now there's 2 years, but, you know, we might have to figure out, like, how to shorten that gap, but I think the onus is to make sure there's representation for the citizens.
Yeah, I was at the meeting, and that is the thrust of the argument, yes. Commissioner Bourne?
So to go back to Commissioner Simmons' point, are we in agreement that we would like to have this be expedited the process and clearer, either by appointment or however many elections, you know, special, primary, whatever? I think we are all in agreement in the direction that the council is seeking, that we fill that position in some capacity until it's declared by vote, which is the democratic process. So, I mean, we are all in agreement on that, correct?
Yes. I think so.
Okay, so that... That's good. We should reflect that.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess I just have a problem with the council appointing one of their own, even if it's temporary. I mean, that's what elections are for. I mean, we can figure out how to expedite the election, but I don't know. I'm just a little leery about the appointment.
Commissioner Allaby?
I mean, can we really figure it out? Because... I think Commissioner Simmons was saying that, and I think I remember too in one of our discussions on ranked choice voting that there's some statutory requirement on when you can actually have an election. So, I mean, I'm more inclined to just say let's do appointment until the next, you know, if we're actually trying to look at cost and look at the number of people that are actually participating in this special election. I mean, last year, well, you know, last 2 years, it's been like, it seems like every month there's an election broken back. And I mean, and the number of people that you have showing up, and you might have in the prince, it might be one person, but coming like 5 minutes to eight, so.
Thank you. Commissioner Hunt?
And I recall, and to that point, like, I don't disagree, but I believe our council representative or liaison last meeting said that they would look to people in commissions and bodies like this who are already serving to appoint from. So, like, I don't know what we mean by, like, someone like them or, like, you know, put one of their folks in there. But, you know, I would say if that means public officials, then we would want their folks in there, right? So...
Commissioner Hanson?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone, we have appointed a council member, and the last time that happened was when council member Jordan moved, and how they handled the appointment was they let the appointment sit open. They could let it sit open until the general election happened, and Susan Powell won that. And so instead of that seat staying open until when she would be seated in January, they went ahead and appointed her the day after the election. She finished his term and then was seated. So know what happens and know that they did it very logically in the past. You know, and the council voted on that process, you know, for her appointment. So know that it has happened and it wasn't a big scary situation.
To kind of dovetail with Commissioner Hanson and Commissioner Zach, is that how you say your last name? Because I really appreciated what Commissioner Zach said as well. Could we write into the language
somehow that that scenario that Commissioner Hansen mentioned would be the way it goes? Or would anybody be in support of that? I love the idea of it because it's it is closing that gap, that vacant gap, yet it's preserving the democratic process being the way that you choose that person.
So that situation only worked because the amount of time that the seat was open. Mm-hmm. It was under a year or whatever. It was. It fell within that window, so that's why that all worked the way it was. Mm-hmm. Had Councilmember Jordan had longer amount open on his seat, then that could not have happened that way.
She would not have gone through the election to demonstrate
correct.
She was the winner, and then until she took office.
And would there have been a legal window to have a general election at any time, or is it one of those things where the statute is like, no?
Well, if the
no
window was
calendar date.
Well, if it was more than a year, then there would have we would have had to go through the whole primary process,
right. Or a special
for,
election.
Right, a special okay. election, which would have been a primary.
Okay.
But there's still specific days where you can have an election. I think there's some statutory requirement on when you can have an election, so that
yes,
would still play a part.
Yep.
Regardless of whatever avenue that we decide to do.
Devin, you want to
question? Oh no. Well, just. Commissioner
Zach,
yes, you mentioned about the people should be part of the appointment process, but I was just thinking about Commissioner Hansen, that scenario. Councilmember Paul, she won that election,
mm-hmm.
and that's why she,
yeah.
the people voted her in, that's why she was appointed. So.
Yeah.
But
and they chose not to appoint anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I ran against Susan, and Mayor Levy at the time called me, and he said, you'd actually be a logical fit because I was chair of the Planning Commission at the time, but he said, because you are running, we have decided that we are not going to appoint anyone because we have enough time that we can go through the primary and the general election process, and then we will appoint the next day whoever is the winner of that general election. But it was because it fell within that certain time window.
Okay. Question is Hans, and then we need to kind of wrap this up. Okay.
Yeah, you're good. I just want to say, like, we're all appointed, so it's not
mm-hmm.
scary. Like,
yeah.
everyone in this room
yeah.
has been appointed, so.
Okay, so at this point, we will maybe make a final decision on this in November, and on language and everything in November. And
Devin will bring us homework.
And, yeah, and then...
Chair Scarra, just I think that's the only thing that I'm required to bring back is a 50% plus special election primary. Is that anything else? Because I was out of the room. So. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And the request from Jim is when you guys do decide on what you want to do, then our office will obviously be able to help you draft that language.
Okay.
But, yeah. So.
All right. Questions?
Can we just attempt to actually lay out what our options are? Because I've heard multiple scenarios. I have three. One is to appoint and have a special election. So you appoint, but you still do the special election, okay? And how you do the special, with the... no primary, right? So if you want to do that, you have a winner take all. But you appoint first, fill that gap right away. Well, it's not right away. However long your appointment takes. Second option, you don't appoint. You just have a special election that's winner take all, right? Or subset of that is 51%. So if you're going to, I don't think that satisfies what they're looking for because then that's a runoff scenario. Third, appoint until the next regular election. So there wouldn't be a special, you just appoint until the next, however long the vacancy is, you just let that person serve until that next regular election. So is there more than that? Those are the three that come to my mind.
Chair Secure, Commissioner Simmons, so how you define regular election, is that a November general?
Regular,
okay.
Yeah.
General,
right,
yeah,
general
thank
election.
You.
Yes, I think so. All right.
One point of clarification, so in that last scenario, though, we'll just completely eliminate the primary. When the tally now says we have more than two,
Yes.
You need a priority. So we're going to strike that out.
Yes.
The third option. Yes. So was there a primary in any of those?
No, say you have one and two. So I mean, I was striking that out.
He said no.
Yeah.
No primary in any of those three.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, so, according to the way it stands today.
Siobhan has a question.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the options on the table as well, clear. So what we originally suggested was you basically appoint a person to fill a vacancy, even when there is a special election required. Okay, and then the second option would be to eliminate the need to hold a primary for any special election to fill a vacancy. So basically you appoint someone, you have a special election, and that person, then whomever is elected is the city council member. Or you eliminate the need to hold a primary, the winner-take-all scenario, right? But you had mentioned the third scenario, and I'm trying to get that down from my mind.
The council would do an appointment, which would only last, it depends when the vacancy is. It only lasts until the next general election. So if you're four-year terms, vacancy occurs. I don't know if the math is going to work on that one.
Right. It's weird because of the timing and all of the rules regarding election.
Maybe that just doesn't work.
Right.
Because anything under a year, you're going to appoint anyway.
Right.
If it's over, if the vacancy occurs January of an even year, but you have 3 years left.
That's a long appointment.
But in one of these scenarios, you'd have a primary, or you'd have a special election. So you wouldn't appoint, but you'd have a special election,
Eliminated primary. That's the first just eliminated primary.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're suggesting that they're not like they're both would be enacted, right? Because they're two separate parts of the charter, right? The one with the appointment,
right.
The other one with the.
It's primary.
So, like, we're
yes.
basically like, it's a twofer.
It is a twofer.
To accomplish our goal.
Right.
I don't know, Mr. Chair. I mean, it would help me if by the next meeting, if we laid out sort of scenario A, B, or C, so we have choices.
Yeah. Okay. I would recommend using hypothetical dates, too.
Yeah, great idea.
I'm just not comfortable with that last one, just based on the what ifs.
I think the length of time is the scary part.
Right.
So length of time and the date of the appointment, that the vacancy is declared. Yeah, Commissioner Hunt.
And I just want to be very transparent. Like, I'm not an election or voting professional, so, like, if this, like, goes beyond our scope, then maybe we should, I mean, I know we have a professional who knows the language, but, like.
I'm not a professional elector either.
Right, so, like, I mean.
Okay,
just
well.
Thoughts.
Okay, so
and
we
they're
will.
They're just rough draft options here. It's not to say those are the only ones,
right.
But it'll give us a better working spot if we start again. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Then we will chew on that next time. Hopefully not choke on it. Okay, 5.3, discuss bylaws amendment. I would really like to put this thing to bed, if possible, tonight. So what I decided to do is, I think last time you were asked to email whatever changes or specifications to Devin. And I decided to do that. I don't know if you received comments from anybody else. Okay, I'm the only one. So my proposal is, in our bylaws, section 16 here in the red, it just says, charter amendment process, the Charter Commission shall give equal weight and appropriate consideration to all proposed amendments to the city charter. 16A, proposals originating from either the city council or residents must come to the commission through the city clerk. Proposals originating from within the commission shall be considered received by the city clerk. And 16C, if commissioners determine that an issue is not charter related, the issue shall be returned to its originator with an explanation of the commission's decision. Issues that commissioners determine to be charter related shall be added to the commissioner's work plan. This is just intended as explaining to ourselves and to outside entities how we operate, how we receive information, how we process it generally. And then there's this issue of the flow chart. My only suggestion on that is that we retain the flow chart with Devin. He brings down anytime we have to address an issue. With the understanding that it does need a lot of work, Devin has said that he has staff members who can help us with that, that can tweak it, make it look more comprehensible, more professional, certainly. And so that is just kind of my suggestion. I am open to questions or comment. Commissioner Moore?
First of all, I apologize for not sending in my comments. This is very well done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there any questions, concerns about the word, about any wording or anything? That...
I think it's great.
And Chair, Secure, and Commissioners, and don't forget, annually we look at this bylaw, so if there's any some sort of amendment, you can bring those up in January each year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I guess I need a motion to approve these. So, Commissioner Simmons?
Word choice. Issues that commissioners determine to be charter-related shall be added to the work plan. So that's taking away our discretion to manage our own work plan?
So issues...
Shouldn't it be may? I mean...
issues determined by charter may be added to the work plan, yes.
I don't know whether you agree with that or not. I'm just pointing that out as
okay.
I think we still want to retain the authority and discretion to manage our own work plan.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I very much agree with that.
All right. Any other editorial? Okay.
Can I ask something? Would we ever do anything other than add it to the work plan? Would we just discuss it, and would that be appropriate? Or, like, is adding it to the work plan us discussing it?
It could be either or both.
Okay.
I mean, if we receive it, we discuss it, we dispose of it, then it is basically considered to have been added to the work plan.
Okay.
I guess if you want to get picky about it.
Oh, I don't.
Okay. But, I mean, we did it. We could just put it on the work plan. Like, I think Devin distributed a copy of the work plan.
Yeah.
And actually, we did not adopt the provision on the public purpose expenditures in our last meeting. Yet, it is on the work plan, and we did dispose of it tonight. So, therefore, it is on the work plan. So, yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Awesome. Great work. Love
Thank
it.
Thank you. Yep. Motion to accept the amendments to the bylaws as presented in section 16 and as edited by Commissioner Simmons. Commissioner Moore?
I so move that we adopt.
Okay, so that's seconded. Any further discussion? Those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is carried.
Woo-hoo.
Way to get it done.
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so our council representative is not with us this evening. Devin, did Councilmember Klonowski pass along anything for you to read?
No, I just have Monday night's council agenda, probably noteworthy. The assessment hearing, and then there's a fire truck apparatus, I believe, two of them. The council approved. That's it. And we have a special assessment hearing for delinquent utility charges, payments, and things like that. We have a public hearing for those folks to come forward. And that's really good. Yeah. Big items.
Do you know if they discussed any more of the whole hockey arena situation?
I haven't seen anything,
so just...
They did have a... I'm trying to think which meeting. They did have a public hearing where we had a bunch of residents come out in support of the CAC improvements. So I'm not sure where that... Okay.
Mr. Chair, what, preliminary levy, has that been done yet?
Yes. 11.99, I believe that's what it was at. Remember, it
must have been a recent, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think it's 11.99, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I move to adjourn.
Second.
Well, second. Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Warren.
It's the bottom of the seventh, and it's 3-2.
Wait a minute.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
It's only the bottom of the seventh.
Only the bottom of the seventh. There's plenty of time.
Did you make the motion?
I made the motion.
I second it.
Okay. Second of Commissioner Hansen. Any further discussion besides that? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion to adjourn, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?